For those of you who've watched The Amazing Race, you know that teams compete in a race around the world. They have to perform tasks and overcome challenges along the way. And it's for my daughter, Emily, and I, it's the one show the last couple of years. It's really the only show that we've sat down and watched every week. And this episode, this latest season, we were really excited because two University of Wisconsin students were in it. And not only that, but they won. So we have them in the studio with us today, Amy DeYoung and Maya Warren, graduate students in food science at the UW-Madison. And because of their work, they were called the Sweet Scientists on The Amazing Race. And Amy, thank you so much for coming by. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, of course.
And Maya, thank you as well.
Thank you. It's our honor.
Oh, man, I tell you what, it was a real pleasure for us to watch the show for my daughter and I. And as Judith and her husband, Jean-Marc, and many folks here at Wisconsin Public Radio actually watch it. So
awesome.
We're all excited to have you, have you here today. But I gave a thumbnail on what The Amazing Race is, but there are people who are listening today. What the heck is The Amazing Race? So tell us a little more about The Amazing Race. So it's about 13.
So it's 11 teams of two.
Yep.
And they travel around the world and doing different competitions, tasks, and you try not to be last ever. And you usually try to be first, at least more than once. But in our case, it worked out totally fine that we were first.
Trying not to be last is a decent strategy for us.
But you travel the world, and the show is really about relationships. So it's different relationships. So it's maybe a couple, whether they're male-male, female-female, male-female. It could be friends,
married, dating, newly dating, engaged.
Co-workers, mother and daughter, father, son and mother, all kind of relationships. And you sort of test your relationships while you travel the world and you experience things that are very kind of out of this world.
Yeah.
You're like, what are we about to do and where are we about to go? But you just sort of make your way through and you have a freaking blast while doing it.
Exactly. And you get to do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do and travel to places that you would not necessarily pick to travel. So, for example, we went to Morocco and we went to a medieval style tannery, and I had to pick hair off of these goat hides. And I mean, it was an experience.
Of goat hides. Yeah.
Of goat hides. I had to de-hair goats. And that's not, I don't think, something that people would ordinarily schedule as part of their vacation.
Yeah.
But
it
definitely, you can do that as part of your vacation.
So that's, I think, what makes The Amazing Race so unique and such a great opportunity, is because you do things that the locals do, and they're things that you wouldn't ordinarily do when traveling.
You're totally immersed in the culture, which, I mean, you can't buy that. I mean, it's literally a priceless thrill, and we randomly tried out for it. And
well, you guys had kind of a good shtick, because here you are, scientists. And you study candy.
Exactly.
And ice cream.
So we introduced ourselves as working on PhDs in candy and ice cream, and they were like, wait, what?
They had no clue, like, what we did.
What
they were like,
this?
That's not a real job. Like, and they started, like, asking us about it instead of asking us about, like, why we would be good for the show. So it was just
and about
really
ourselves. Yeah, so what? Food science? What is that?
Right.
So that was kind of our...
But, I mean, Larry, you're 100% right. We knew going in, so when we tried out back in October 12, 2013 is mm-hmm. when we first tried out. We did an open call in Chicago, and we had a minute to, I guess, impress whoever was going to watch this footage that they were taping of us. And we knew that we had a pretty good shot because we are food scientists, we're women, we're young, we're both working on our PhDs, and we research such cool and sweet things, pun intended.
We really like puns, so we have a good sense of humor.
Oh, man.
But we knew we had a lot going for us, but didn't really know we were going to make it all the way to race around the world.
No,
but
much less
awesome.
Win the whole thing. I mean, it's still a very surreal experience thinking back to a year ago when we were still going through the casting process, and now here we are. Sitting there as the reigning winners of the Amazing Race.
Well, but not millionaires, kind of. You won $1 million, but you split the million.
Yeah, but
then,
it's way more than we have.
Yeah, way more.
Certainly beats the graduate student stipend.
Oh, man. Well, let me give our listeners a chance to join in. If you're a fan of the Amazing Race, or if you're not, maybe you've got a question for our sweet scientists today, Amy and Maya. And maybe you have a question about their major and their study. They're getting PhDs and they're studying ice cream and candy. And you know what? We've had some folks from the Department of Food Science on in the past. Rich was on it with some ice cream, and we had about 10 different kinds of ice cream that we sampled on the air one time.
Yeah, shout out to Rich Harteau.
Yeah.
If he's listening.
He's our professor.
Oh, so the number to call for you to join in, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Well, how did you prepare mentally and physically for this whole race?
We did quite a bit, actually. So we did a lot of workouts. Every morning we did Insanity. It's this like crazy workout tape. So we did that from January pretty much until the time we left. We did a lot of running, strength training. We knew that as an all-female team, not having a really strong guy could potentially hurt us. Yeah. And so we didn't want that. We knew we weren't going to win the race based on our brute strength, but it was something that we didn't want to be a major weakness. We also watched a ton of episodes and tried to figure out why exactly female teams don't typically do well. So we really wanted to approach it strategically and understand like where are people's downfalls, how can we win the race. So we did a lot of studying. We did a lot of like puzzles and things like that to try to prepare.
I mean, we mentally studied the race, not just watched it, but actually studied it to, you know, talk about how we would approach a task that we may have seen on the show that episode. We also spent a lot of time with each other trying to better understand each other, because if you look at our relationship prior to the race, we were lab mates. I mean, that's mm-hmm. really what we were, and we didn't really hang out outside the lab a ton. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So we had to learn each other in more stressful situations and in more kind of like ways that would kind of test our relationship as we were sort of building our relationship. So it was a very interesting time, but it was a ton of fun to kind of put yourself out there and just go for it and expect the unexpected. So,
well, it was fantastic to watch. And you can see the relationship business. I mean, oh my goodness, some people like your mom and daughter, for example. Oh my goodness.
I love you, Shelly and Niecy, but oh my gosh.
They had a different relationship.
They were a handful. Yeah. But you know, for us, I think it's actually advantageous that we are friends and mm-hmm. not, we don't have that emotional connection of being like in a romantic relationship yeah. or having like the mom-daughter type relationship, because yeah. we could let things go a little bit easier, which helped us. If something mm-hmm. happened, just brush it off and keep going. Versus other people, it was harder to just say whatever to
let
it.
Go, yeah.
It's harder to let go. So I actually think it's more advantageous for friends to do it, to do the race, if they're level-headed, than it is for couples. However, couples win more than friends do. So some people out there may be like, Maya, be quiet.
Well, Gary and Rhinelander has a question for you. Gary, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Gary.
Hi there. Hey, I love Larry Mueller's show, as probably as much as I like The Amazing Race. And, yeah, I've been watching it, my wife and I, for the last several years, and we can see on TV the difference in relationships, you know, with other couples, and how that can be very difficult for, let's say, you guys with the relationships with others. And my wife and I, we pick winners as in by how they may badmouth someone or something of that sort. And we wanted you two to win probably after the second week, because
yay.
You two have such a great attitude and
such. Thank you.
Awesome.
But my question is that the things that, you know, we could see relationships can be very difficult as well as the task, but how about the things that we don't see? I mean, I can understand like sleeping and eating that we really don't see, but what was the most difficult thing that you did on this race that we don't see in the cameras?
I think one of them is you don't see a lot of airport footage. So actually, when you get off the plane, it's really important to try to get off the plane ahead of the rest of the plane, because you can end up a half an hour behind the first people off your plane, even though you're on the exact same flight. So trying to get off the plane, navigate through customs, get in the taxi or get wherever you have to go out of the airport, it was something that I think we learned throughout the race. The first leg, or the second leg actually, was probably where we struggled with that the most, and we got a lot better at it. But that's something that you don't see a lot of on TV. That was a challenge.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Maya, anything from you?
I would say that one thing you don't see is that we don't have communication with any of our families at all. So when we first begin the race or begin about to begin the race, I guess, we get all communications taken away from us. So no cell phones, no computers, nothing. So I think that was one of the hardest parts, was not being able to have communication with your family. So you don't know what's going on with them, and you can't share with them what's going on with you. So that was more challenging, I think, for me than anything else.
Oh, Gary, thanks.
Thanks, Gary.
Great question. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'd love to hear from you. And we actually, he mentioned eating, and you don't often see people eating.
No, you don't. But we do eat. We eat a lot on airplanes.
Try to get the flight attendants to give you any extra pretzels or peanuts they may have.
Or you just ask some kids that aren't going to eat their food next to you if you can
have your
their
dinner
food.
Or your extra roll.
But whenever we're at a pit stop, we do consume nutrients at that point. Mm-hmm. So
and we should probably explain how long this. I mean, we're watching it for 13 weeks, isn't it? I think
12 weeks.
But it for you guys, it occurred over how long a period of time?
21 days, so 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it's very
fast.
So
Phil always says we make 12 shows in 21 days. It's crazy. It's crazy how they put it all together. It's a crazy experience to go through. I mean, when I came home, I know I slept for a while. I think Maya called me. She's like, my eyelids even hurt.
Yeah,
I mean,
like everything was excruciating.
You're just so tired. You're running on adrenaline for so long. But yeah, we do the whole thing and...
In 21 days,
it's amazing. Shout out to the production crew, the camera, sound folks. I mean, it's crazy how they get it done. But
how many camera are there? Does each group get a camera person? Or
every team has a camera and sound that assigned to you that leg of the race, and you rotate you rotate them. So I don't even know how many there are.
Mm-hmm. And there's other people filming, like at different challenges, and sometimes there'll be like things flying overhead that you're. I think there's a camera.
There's a lot
on
of drones,
there.
A lot of GoPros. I mean, the behind the scenes production of the Amazing Race is.
There's a lot of very hardworking people who are great.
I would think.
It's a thrill to see. I mean, it's a science. I mean, we were actually really intrigued with a lot of behind the scenes stuff that was going on that we got to see firsthand, because there's a science behind how they're able to put this together, and it seems almost flawless. I mean, I know they've been doing it for 25 seasons, but still, I mean, it's basically flawless. And when you go to a new country, you know, they haven't been there before really either, so they're figuring out for the first time too.
Talking today with Maya Warren and Amy DeYoung, who are PhD students at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in the Department of Food Science, and they are the million-dollar winners of the Amazing Race.
What?
Are you serious?
What, Larry? Where'd you pull that one from?
Oh, my goodness. We're going to talk some more with him. But you stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we talk with Amy DeYoung and Maya Warren, the winners of the Amazing Race, talking about their experiences and certainly answering your question about the race itself and also about the Department of Food Science. You know, they're PhD students and they work with ice cream and candy. How sweet is that? And you know they're in pretty darn good shape too. They must exercise a lot or not eat as much as they.
Oh no, we eat a lot. ice cream and candy.
Oh boy,
and exercise. It's all about the balance.
Well, the number to call 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Lorraine from Mineral Point really likes Phil. How's Phil's last name? Is it Kogan?
Kogan.
Oh, it's okay. So I had the pronunciation right. She really likes him. Is he as nice as he appears on the radio, on the television?
Phil's great.
Phil is awesome. I mean, you see me jump on Phil at the end. Like, I was really happy to see Phil. And Phil has been doing this for years, but he makes it feel like when you get to the mat that this is...
like you're like the first team that he's seen all day. And so he's not tired of it. He's really engaged, and he loves what he does, and you can see that. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, yeah, he's got a pretty cool job.
Phil has an awesome
right?
job.
Traveling the world. I mean,
he probably makes pretty good money.
Right?
And
has a lot of frequent flyer miles.
Yeah, he has a lot of frequent flyer miles and really gets to travel around the world a lot, which I guess there could be a downside to that, too. You know, depending on family and so forth, it can probably be a little difficult. I was just want to think about the best way to put this. What was the worst thing that you had to put up? I mean, I watched your faces when they were showing these tight shots of you when you were doing this hot rock or whatever
massages.
Oh, yeah.
The cupping.
And it sounded like, Amy, it sounded like you were almost ready to give up at that.
It was pretty painful. I mean, it's funny now looking back on it, but at the time, I don't know. If you go on The Amazing Race, you have to go into every task with a sense of humor and be able to look, step back and laugh and be like, I am putting myself through this. Like, I signed up to do this. And so you kind of have to go into every challenge with that type of attitude. So, yeah, it was painful, but it was funny and it was worth it. We came back to Madison $1 million richer.
Well, and the other one for you, Amy, in the Philippines, I think it was, when you were carrying, I mean, you had a... this is where I assume some of the women teams sometimes fall down because of the, you had a heavy, you were carrying heavy things in a very hot, humid situation, and you looked really ill.
Yeah, that was a, thank you. That's always what I aspire to do on national television.
Oh my gosh.
But no, it was pretty tough. I mean, all those different things were very, very heavy, and they were just really awkward to carry. So my arms were like scratched up and sorts after doing that, and they wouldn't let me carry the different deliveries piecewise. I had to carry every single thing at the same time, which is what I was trying to do initially. I was like, I can't carry six of these at once. I'm just going to deliver half of them and go back. And they're like, no, sorry, you're not allowed to do that. So that was a little bit frustrating just because I had to carry everything at once, but I got through it and didn't give up.
I wonder, as you watched the episodes, were there any things that surprised you as after it was over and you're sitting there watching, were there things that, oh, the wrestlers said that about, or they pulled that on us or whatever?
Definitely. As watching some of the episodes, we didn't realize that some of the teams talked about us the way that they did, because we never talked about the teams really in a negative way at all. I mean, and it's funny because if you look at the episode in Singapore when Brooke and Rob are complaining about the fact that we don't tell them exactly where the clue is in Raffles Square or Raffles Palace, Raffles Square, I think it's called. And they're like, yeah, you know, Maya just sort of kind of like did like waved her hand and told us where it is. And Amy was sort of, you know, kind of pointing in the direction. And, you know, we start seeing the claws come out. And it's like really like they wanted us to be more mean than we are, because we were always really, really happy and super excited about everything. And they were like, this can't be real. Like, they can't be human. They have to have an evil side to them. And it was like, no, like, this is legitimately like who we are in real life. And so definitely surprised, like, didn't know that Brooke wanted me to fall off 600 feet up in the air.
Yeah, thanks, Brooke, if you're out there listening.
Didn't know, you know, that Jim called us low-hanging fruit and he wanted to, you know, kick Amy in the shins. And but at the end of the day, love our Amazing Race family, Tar family, love you guys to death. And it's just a game, and we all play it differently, and that's why it makes for such an amazing show.
Yeah, it is an amazing show. Ruth in Madison has a question that I think goes along with what we were just talking about here. Ruth, hi.
Yeah, you just kind of got to it a little bit. We watch The Amazing Race mostly because we'll never travel to those places. And if we ever did travel to those places, we would never see the culture and or any parts of the culture or history as they're portrayed and things like that. And so we really enjoy that about The Amazing Race. And so usually we don't care who wins or loses, because we just the people who squabble or are verbally abusive to each other, we just assume the sooner they drop out, the better.
Right.
We so appreciated the enthusiasm that you guys approached all your challenges and the diligence that you
Thank
carried
you.
Them out.
Thanks,
and
Ruth.
Even when you were really suffering, and I know, Amy, you were injured and stuff. Anyway, the question that I had, though, was, you kind of answered, I was wondering whether the teams badmouth each other like they did, because like the wrestlers, the pro wrestlers, they had just should have been eliminated, and it turned out to be a non-elimination leg. And then they went on and on and on about how awful it was that you guys didn't get eliminated.
Right, right.
You represented Wisconsin well. Doggone it, you were nice.
Yeah, I mean, we were definitely really nice. But the thing is so there's usually always a non-elimination leg going into the 10th, going at the 10th leg, there's always a non-elimination leg for the last, I don't
Most
know how
of
many
time,
seasons.
Yeah.
And so for us to be saved or have a, we weren't even saved. It was a continue racing leg. Mm-hmm. They've never done that on that leg of the race before, on the 11th leg. So everyone was sort of kind of like, they shouldn't be in it. It's not fair because this isn't how it's supposed to be. And so,
but they always have a keep on racing leg somewhere in the race. It's
yeah,
just
I mean, over
the
last couple of years, yeah. they've introduced the continue racing. They've had it at the beginning of the race before, the first leg. They've had it in the middle. And lucky for us, I mean, really lucky for us, it happened at the end, and we couldn't have written it any better. And, you know, it is what it is. But even when we approached Brooke and Rob at the airport in Manila, they were really upset at us. And we already knew that. But if you look back at the episode and listen to what we say to them, we say, you know, don't be mad at us. Be mad at the situation. But don't think that you can't win. Like, never let the outside circumstances control your outcome. And that's what mm-hmm. I think that they did. And that's why I think we were so successful, is because we never let outside circumstances really control mm-hmm. how we ran the race.
You can only control what you're doing. Right. So why worry about spend too much time dealing with what other people are doing?
We ran a much smarter race than any of the other teams, but you don't see it as well because it's harder to portray on camera. But if you look back on how we ran the race using our minds more than anything else, because it's a mental game at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, as one of your fellow students said, once she saw that it was a memory thing, the last thing she knew, you were going to win.
Yep, it was ours to win, definitely.
Especially since we all got there at about the same time. We were all on even footing, so...
Yeah, you knew that was going to happen. Kurt and Poinette, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Congratulations, Amy and Maya.
Thanks, Kurt.
On the question about the production team, for example, when you're doing a task, how many production crew are behind the camera? And also, since you're in food science, don't you think Babcock ought to name an ice cream for you?
Definitely.
Guys?
There definitely needs to be an Amy and Maya ice cream. If you have any suggestions as to what that flavor is, please let us know.
What'd you say, Kurt?
Thanks a lot. I'll listen for my answer on the air.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
So the number of production people, we talked a little bit about that, but there's
a lot.
I mean, it's task dependent. So if you have a detour, you have two different tasks going on at the same time, and we may never see what's even going on at the other task. So, for instance, when we were doing the butter making challenge mm-hmm. in Merrick in Morocco, we never went to the tent challenge. They were right next to each other, but there's a whole other slew of production people over there. And the creator, well, the co-creators of the show, Bertram Van Munster, he carries around a camera and he's filming you as well. And so it's awesome to be able to have people who love what they do. Yeah. And even though he's been doing this for 25 seasons, it's his baby, and he loves it. And he's out there with you sweating. Or I don't know. I never saw Bertram sweat, but we're sweating a lot. and he's out there right with you. So it's really task dependent. But, I mean, it's so many people out there that you just never see because you really only see us. So.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Thanks, Kurt. Eric and Madison. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks. I had a question, and one of the earlier callers started to address my interest here on this. I have to say I have not seen The Amazing Race, but I'm really intrigued, and I've been kind of following in the local newspaper, Madison.com. My question is, do you feel that your background and experience in science, as far as the analytical thinking and gave you maybe an advantage over some of the other contestants in this race? Wonder if you could comment on that.
Definitely.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it definitely did. I mean, the analytical background definitely helped, just being able to approach and decide which challenge to do. But even more so than that, working on research, I think, is something that helped us quite a bit, because research is one of those things that it doesn't always go right the first time. It actually rarely ever goes right the first time. So you get very used to just things going wrong and picking up the pieces and trying to figure it out and persevering. And I think that's really what the race is about. I mean, you can get in a bad cab, you can get lost, you can be struggling with a challenge, but it's all about how you stay like emotionally calm through that and keep working hard and knowing that even though right now things aren't going well, you can figure it out. And so I think that is something that is very much our everyday lives with research. And I think that that kind of attitude helped us on the race. It wasn't like, I mean, you see Brooke all the time, like something slightly goes wrong and, oh, this is horrible.
We're going to lose.
At the very first leg, their boat starts sinking. And she's like, oh, we lost. We're done. It's over. Bye.
Love you, Brooke.
But like you never really see us get that down. Like we know that things go wrong, but we know that we can figure it out.
Yeah. And I also believe that since we were the only contestants on this season of the race that are still students. Hmm. We use the left side of our brain on a daily basis compared to everyone else on the race doesn't use it how we use it. And so I think that that was an advantage. And yeah. We just sort of went into the race knowing that we needed to stay calm. And you may say, like, Maya, you like never were calm. Like, I was always like running around like a crazy person. But in many ways, I was very calm and centered. And before each leg of the race, I was very centered and knew that I needed to sort of be at a good place in order to continue running the race as successful as we did. And so definitely being the fact that we're still students was definitely advantageous for us on the race compared to the other teams.
Very interesting. Eric?
I just want one more comment, if I may. I do have a science background as well, and I think what you're both referring to is also a level of discipline.
Definitely, Eric.
That does come from having science. More often than not, it's about failures.
Right.
Or, yep. Not failures, but
no,
not, you know,
pretty much. You can call it what it is.
but it sounds like that your level of discipline really, I think it did really give you an advantage.
Indeed.
So I think it's really cool that right. You guys were able to do that.
In combination, Eric, in combination with how to successfully use our level of discipline. So it's a lot of methodical thought behind it. So we're very analytical. We overthink almost everything.
Pretty much everything we do.
I think that on the race, it actually helped us that we overthought what the things that we should overthink, which is how to sort of approach the race instead of like overthinking, like, do you turn left or right? You know what I mean? Like when you're mm-hmm. driving. So we methodically approached the race in a different way than majority of other teams did. I can't really speak for, you know, Lisa and Michelle, Isabel and Dennis, you know, teams that got out so close, so early on, because they may have had the same approach, but it was kind of luck of the draw so early on that they just, you know, picked the short straw.
Yeah.
But we love you guys.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate the call. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at the Larry Miller Show Facebook page. You can post there. We'd love to hear from you. Email from Stacy. I cheered for you from the beginning. Congratulations. Looking back after watching the race, what do you think of the wrestlers now? Oh. And would you do the race again if you had the opportunity?
Yes. Absolutely would do the race 100% again if given the opportunity to do so.
Winners edition, WRP, if you're listening, winners edition, please, let's do it. Definitely would do the race again and absolutely love Brooke and Rob. I know that on camera, the way they edit it, it seems as if like we are like the two teams that really don't get along. And like, for instance, we're in the Philippines on the first leg in the Philippines. We're in the jeepney and we're like, oh my gosh, the jeepney is awesome. I want to bring it back to the States. Look at the babies. And then Brooke's in the other one like, oh my God, this is horrible. Oh my God, it smells so bad. Oh. And it's like such an awesome juxtaposition of like who we are as teams. It's so funny. So it seems like how could they ever get along? But actually on the race, we're with Brooke and Rob a ton, and we actually bonded with them a lot. So for them to have screwed us over was really a surprise because we were actually friends. But their competitors in their everyday life. They're wrestlers. Yeah. And so we have to take it as a grain of salt. Like, they were portraying themselves as who they are on television when they're wrestling as well. And so that's just kind of how it is. But at the end of the day, love Brooke and Rob. We've seen both of them since the race, hung out with them, and there's no hard feelings with anyone. It is what it is.
Exactly.
Well, that's kind of good to hear. I thought there was some antipathy. There was some... I think the dentists were the first ones to get a break. They got a get home free, whatever it is.
The save.
Womp womp.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
And then
the
week that they get eliminated, or that they would have been eliminated, it was a free week, so they didn't have to use their save.
You're telling us, Larry.
Yeah, exactly. We were all shocked that they got that back. But it, you know what? It's another one of those situations where it is what it is. You can't change what the production decisions are. You can't change the rules. So you just kind of have to go with it and run your own race.
Now, in the evenings or however, I don't know
mornings,
how this
day.
Mornings, whatever, did you guys ever eat together or do things together as a group? I know one group said... Yeah, at the airport.
If you watch in Shetland Islands, we're camping out together. And we're in Malta, granted, by the time we get to the sleeping area in Malta, everyone's asleep already.
Probably never get a job as a waitress.
Like, most glasses were dropped in combination between the two of us. I think we dropped them like 7 times. So it took us a really long time to do that challenge going.
Sorry, Bridge Bar in Malta, if you're listening, I apologize.
But it was so, yeah, I mean, we do get to talk. We do get to hang out on airplanes. We get to, you know.
You sit and talk.
Yeah, a little bit. You sleep on airplanes a lot because you're tired.
First class? You fly? No, you were a coach.
No, yeah, we're not. It's like a rule. You like don't fly first class. But I mean, that's okay. Like, we don't need luxury. This is about winning the race, and we're all.
You want to be seated as close to the front as you can.
As close to the
door.
Exit door.
Oh,
as you can.
So it's not necessarily in the front.
It's not always the front. So you have to be able to. Do that as well. And so one interesting thing about the race, and I think again why we were so successful, is because you had to learn how to race and learn how not to race, because every part of the race is not racing. So when you're on a 14-hour flight from Malta to Singapore, you got to be able to relax. You got to be able to enjoy the moment. You got to be able to enjoy talking to people on the plane that are, you know, just locals and things like that. So I think because we sort of kind of just had fun with it and just kind of took it as like an opportunity to travel around the world. I think that's why another reason why we were so successful in what we were doing. So.
If you couldn't, this is an interesting question from Martha who emailed in. If you couldn't win, who would you have wanted to win and why? Is there somebody in that group of finalists?
I mean, going back to anyone, thinking about like people who probably like need the money like we do, like Tim and TJ, Isabel and Dennis,
Kim and Allie might be up there too. They're strong competitors.
Yeah, I mean, but everyone was a strong competitor. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a luck of the
It was draw. A really a great group of people, which is I think what made the experience so much fun. So honestly, anybody who would have won it would have deserved it, I think.
Right.
It was pretty funny. I went at one point. I thought, I wonder if there's any spoilers or anything to find, you know, that. And I went online, and there was speculation, and you two were not in the speculation.
Right?
Somebody was claiming that they had seen the other three,
but not us.
But not the other three teams be there or on a plane somewhere. You guys weren't there, mm-hmm. so they.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation out there of who they think is going to win, who they think got out first or fifth. And, you know, you just never know. You really never know. So, yeah.
Mary wondered from The Amazing Race, she said, and earlier on, used to have to eat native and usually pretty grotesque kinds of food. And that seems to have been phased out because it left contestants ill at times.
I don't know. I mean, on season 23, they had contestants eat a cobra. I forget where they were, but they had to eat a cobra. Our season, we didn't have to eat anything. We kept going to search.
We drank a coconut.
We did drink a coconut.
Which is really refreshing.
But so I think it just depends on what production wants to do. I don't know. We didn't have to eat anything. You never know.
And are you told, do they make up ahead of time when they're going to be giving free rides or free passes, I should say?
Oh, you mean non-elimination legs?
Yeah, or is Everything is done as the time goes?
No, it's, I mean, production doesn't show favoritism. It literally is set before we even go on the race, and so are the tasks. So a lot of people may have been like, oh my gosh, like there's surfers and they get a surfing challenge. It's set before we even go on the race before it's even picked. I mean, Bertram,
because they have to plan all the like production logistics and the crew and the local crew and where they're going to sleep. I mean, there's so many logistics that they have to.
Bertram and his team, who's the co-creator along with his wife Elise, they travel to the locations way, way, way before like we even tried out. So stuff is set. It just happened. I mean, but think about how many like biking, cycling type challenges there were, and we had cyclists on our season, you know?
Yeah.
So it totally just
it just
is random. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of good to know. And a good thing. You wonder sometimes, okay, well, you know, did the dentist get, you know, this seems like a pretty good deal for the dentist. Was this planned ahead of time? And they showing the little sparkly teeth when they when they smile. Oh, Nancy, hi, and Bruce. Nancy, are you there? Ah, we lost her.
Bye, Nancy.
She wanted to compete as a snowmobile grandma.
I think that would be great, Nancy.
You got to have a niche, Nancy, so that sounds pretty cool.
Definitely submit a video. I'd definitely watch that.
Oh, and Edie and Baraboo, we'll go to you. Hi, Edie.
Well, congratulations, girls.
Thanks, Edie.
I love the show. I cancel things just to watch the show.
Awesome. Thanks, Edie.
I have a ton of questions, and I think mostly my first question would be, do you get money from them to pay for your airfare and your meals and your staying and your, I know they give you like $100 to do so many, you know, but, does any of that come out of your own pocket?
So we as contestants actually are told we can't bring any money. So we don't have money.
Or credit cards.
Money that the race gives us. So the race gives us everything. So when we're on the race, we don't pay for anything that is our actual money because we don't have any money. They give us money.
And no phone either.
We have no phone. We have no internet. You don't have a GPS. You have nothing. Except
you can't bring maps with you.
The clothes on your back. Yeah. So.
But you're treated like very well while you're in competition. No?
I mean, it depends. We don't have anything to compare it to, so I thought we were treated
well. Yeah, we were treated,
well. I mean,
not like always the most luxurious places. Some of the pit stops are very nice. Some of them, here's a mat, sleep on the concrete. So it depends. But we have, you have to kind of budget. So for each leg, you get X amount of money. And you have to figure out, okay, can we afford food? Well, we need this for taxis? And you don't really know. So you're trying to find the best deals you can.
And you get all the money you get is in U.S. dollars. So if you notice on the race when they open up and they show the money, it's always U.S. dollars. So you have to think strategically. So when are you going to exchange the money in the country that has the currency that you're currently in? Are you going to, when you have to go to a different country? So when we went from Malta to Singapore, what's the wisest place to exchange your money? Do you wait when you get to Singapore and do it to get more money? Or do you just do it in Malta so that you can just have it done with, but you get less money? So it's a lot of, you know, strategic ways of trying to win the race.
And I'm sure you've used some of that $1 million to buy yourself a drink or two, and probably take family out for a night out.
Don't give them any clues, not yet, Larry.
But do you have big plans? I mean, you guys have got education, you've got bills for that, you've got. I know, Maya, you're interested in starting your own business.
Definitely.
Amy's got a couple years to go yet before she's finished.
Yeah, I've got a while.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually already invested the money. I want to do a show of my own on frozen desserts around the world. So anyone out there who has some connections, hit me up at Maya Warren on Twitter. Let me know. But I just want to have fun in life and enjoy things that I do and inspire people along the way. So,
well, you two are inspiring. I can tell you that. Really, really enjoyed the show and really enjoyed being with you today. And I hope maybe we can do this again.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Bring us back to talk about science of candy and ice cream. It'll be so fascinating.
That would be the next topic.
Definitely.
We'll talk about the science of ice cream and candy.
Yeah,
perfect. I'll be around for at least the next 3 years, so you've got time.
You got to do it sometime in summer, because after that, I
Fingers crossed. Rich Hartel, I hope I'm done.
We'll have you back in the summer. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Larry. Thanks,
WPR. Oh, man. Amy DeYoung and Maya Warren. You know what? I am going to get them back, and we'll talk with them about food science and ice cream and candy and the work that they do in that area. And, you know, how enthusiastic are these two? They're wonderful. So...
We're kind of crazy, Larry.
And you know what? Here they were flying around the world for the amazing race.